Welcome. Thank you, Lil, to Tina Eck and Keith Carr. Yay. It said that the Irish are the Palestinians of Europe, and we go, yes, all people. So welcome to our solstice celebration, where we are animating the compassionate trickster within and without, gathering strategy, spice, solace, and defiant joy. At least that's what the flyer said. So I do love Edward Snowden saying, when Katie Couric was going, shouldn't you be frightened? Shouldn't we be frightened? He's like, no, with very Saturn composure. We shouldn't be afraid. We should be ready. So I love one definition of maturity that a friend gave was to have access to all of one's resources. We go, all right, we're here to animate all of our resources. And there's an indigenous saying going, they didn't tell us about all of us, right? And so we want to compost into the cauldron tonight all sneaky forms of colonialism, you know, all non-animistic selves. We go, maybe we toss humanism, humans as the measure of all things, into the cauldron and ladle out the truth of animism, everything's alive. So, right, here we are. It's Esoteric Washington Gathering, undercover agents, what a good thing. And we might want to just take a big sigh, like, wow, ooh. And, you know, trauma doctors, they say to study nature as we should for all things, and they say when a deer is lucky enough to escape from a mountain lion, it trembles all over to metabolize the dread, the fear, the adrenaline, and then it goes back to munching grass. So I say, let's begin. Let's get the cringing and the cowering and the whimpering and the whining and the conniption fits out of the way by going. That's good, right? So that we can dive deep. We can dive deep because we're here for the medicine of fully informed compassion with sizzle. Gotta know everything. But tidings of comfort and joy. Isaiah is my, you know, the kind of heartening, semi-jaunty prophet from the Old Testament who says, "Speak to the weary a word that will rouse them." You know, and may we all go forth with that capacity. A new wonderful ally, spirit brother Yahya Lababidi, wonderful Egyptian poet who's dedicated to aphorisms, and he says, where there are demons is where there is something worth protecting. And then he says, in the deep end, every stroke counts. and on like that. And of course, Dorothy Parker answers her phone by saying, what fresh hell is this? So there's that. So for reasons we will delineate, there is, however, an enhanced atmosphere of receptivity for sane reverence against all odds. So here we are at the solstice that humans have celebrated for 20,000 years at least. We have the carvings. I love Jeff Chester, who was the astronomer at the National Observatory. He said this thing, 5 billion years from now, our sun will begin to die. It will expand. And a woman said, did you say million or billion? And he said, billion. And she's like, oh, thank God. So we say, how grand to be incarnationally coinciding with the likes of ourselves at this time of dire beauty. And at this quirky time of 7:33 p.m., why, you might say? Well, I liked it. I liked lining up with it. What was rising due east, it was 6 Leo, whose image is the constellations of the night sky glow blazingly in the desert, the endless unfolding wonder of the universe. We go, oh, we could all use a little toast of that. And then Uranus, trickster. Uranus, the planets represent living qualities of intelligence that reside within us, they're endogenous, and connect us to the world. You know, and so right now, Uranus, trickster, nature's evolutionary ingenuity, raven, coyote, seeds that sprout after cataclysm, is straight up, you know, presiding, inaugurating our winter. And of course, our word inaugurate comes from the augur, the diviner, who would walk out into nature and read nature's patterns, by which nature would reveal the responsible leader, and then they would be inaugurated. We want to go back to that, because, you know, the Saturnalia, this powerful solstice time, you know, 20,000 years, but also really, you know, specific right now, you know, was always when a culture defined its ideal form of leadership. And I go, you know, wolves would never outsource their autonomy to a sociopathic dingbat who'd lost all kinship and didn't care if the pack survived or not. You know, only humans, only our rogue species Wow. This is my first solstice in 20 years without the living form of Stella Coyote, my actual coyote companion. Yes, but she's left us a lot of coyote hair, and she's left us we kind of crafted this together. It's Stella Coyote's creation myth, and she says, long before there were humans, there was Trickster, who sets the whole shebang going with a sizzle of lightning. And this ingenuity sizzles through all flora and fauna, and every now and then it's orthodoxed or trapped, you know, but it becomes an ingenious escape or escapade artist. And then it sizzles all the way in through time into each one of our hearts this night. You know, and again, we'll be honoring Trickster in so many ways. So well, I do have Stella Coyote's hair. She left a lot of hair behind, and it's a kind of muti. I've mixed it with tobacco from Syria, and there are flyers in the back if you want to go to India in about a minute with me. January 12th, we like people who skid in late, but there will be a number of people joining us from Syria in India, and it's all the diasporas everywhere. I was just helping, in a way, gathering witchcraft force to help my former brother-in-law, the besieged president of Peru. But we made a wheel and deal with him going, you know, okay, you're less corrupt than your opponents, that'll do. And what are you going to put on the table if Trickster gets you out of this trouble? And we had some very specific things. And if you don't, back into the cauldron you go. So we have muti. You know, those of you who've been hanging with me for a long time and those who are new going, what the hell is this? Muti means, it's from the Sangomas of South Africa. Muti means power and medicine. True power is that which heals, and we don't source it, we invite it. We invite it with dedicated acts and gathering like we're doing. So we say, oh, spirit of Stella Coyote and Trickster and ingenuity that loves against all odds, you know, come into each one of our hearts that we may be its agent out there in the world. Open the path before each one of us here, you know, that we may contribute our gifts to the world in a way that is replenishing and the most serious and dedicated kind of fun possible. There we go. Molecular distribution. There we go. And then I also have, from the Sangoma, something very specific. It's called umpepu. It's a kind of muti. And umpepu is, you know, it used to be just grown for Sangomas or medicine people, but now they're like, oh, the world's in such bad shape, use it with anybody. Good. But umpepu opens the avenues between the visible and the invisible, the living and the dead. And so as I do this, you can imagine doing this yourself. You open up ears, open up, hair. There we go. Right, a little inhale from the audience that I did not set my headdress on fire. That's really good. Right, that's why I rolled up my sleeves. So what has been going on for 20,000 years? Virtually all over the world, you know, oh, literal and symbolic light of sun, you know, come on in and illuminate this painting, this writing, this story at the back of the cave. It's a time when people gathered to animate the desirable story and invite in, you know, the power of the sun, the power of gathering to make it so. So we are here to animate our chosen guiding story of dynamic cooperation with everything. We like to say magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. You know, and it's been wonderfully challenging. We'll honor all the planets, vast and micro. Mercury's stationing, and we'll go direct as our part of our finale right there so we can really send stuff out into the world. It's all perfectly timed in some way. Some genius is scheduling us. But Saturn, in the very last moments of Sagittarius until a day ago, and now it's in Capricorn, first time since 1988 on the solstice, time of deep dedication. It's been in Sagittarius for the last 3 years. Saturn really keeps the beat. So for the last 3 years, it says, you know, in the journey of our lives, but in the last 3 years, you know, consider all the things we've been studying and exploring and all those things. And then now it moves into Capricorn, which is, let's do this thing. This is structural, incarnational embodiment. It's time to do things and get ready and animate the desirable world so that when we pull the switch, it can waft into and supplant and eclipse, you know, the war on life and all those other things. So my favorite Christmas ornament that I just put up on the tree, it's just a little ceramic dish depicting the nativity in Bethlehem, and it's the three magi arriving and then going, it's a girl! So wouldn't that be a different story? So we say, you know, cooperators, I will say, cooperators are standing by, you know, so we want to meet them in the course of our journey tonight. So part of it also, you know, the dance of everything equal. Everything goes into the cauldron now. All teachings, all everything, it doesn't do anything harm to go into the cauldron. With the criterion, you know, all teachings, does it guide people to their own autonomy? Autonomy is a sacrament. You know, is it equal Mars and Venus? You know, equal men and women? Is the trickster welcome? Can the truth be said in a jolly, liberating fashion? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. So part of that dynamic where we're at a kind of evolutionary moment is, you know, we have the power fist, right, which is very Mars, you know, from the 60s. We need that. That's arousing. But we don't want to stop there. Everything wants to be a journey. And so the power fist into the blessing palm, poof, may it go well for you. You know, and even as tricksters, we always leave room for others to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways. We don't count on it, but we leave room. And that's why to the Dementors of Doom we go, because we are friends of your soul, we are therefore friends of your indictment. Because it's not good for people to get away with tyranny. You know, this goes all the way back to the Anonymous, you know, and cultures symbolically embedded their science and myth and fairy tales, even detective novels. So the Anonymous is the Venus orbital cycle, and Venus is in the underworld now, gathering mojo for Renaissance. But she likes, well, in her myth, it's very sophisticated, 3,500 years ago from the Sumerians under Iraq. When she gets back from the underworld, which Venus will return in February as the evening star, when she emerges as the evening star, she lounges around for a while, you know, and then it's very trippy. A lot of you have heard this before, but it says one day she's contemplating the wonders of her own vulva, going, it is so fabulous to be an autonomous, sexy woman. And at that moment, inspiration strikes her, and she goes, I know, I'm going to rescue human culture. And human culture has been kidnapped and stolen by Enki, the god of wisdom, who has become a tyrant. So here's the sophisticated, well, there's a lot, part of that. Anyone, anything, unchallenged, will become tyrannical, right? So it's good. That's why we want the atmosphere of, you know, playful to and fro, where truth is welcome as a supportive thing, not as a thing, you know. And that's also, you know, anger, rah, 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 into desire. Going, all right, you're angry about this, then what do you desire, right? Critique, rah, 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 into vision, right? What could it be? Diagnosis as healing. So traditionally, really for 20,000 years, this is also the time when people would honor, you know, all who have died this year, who are not with us in an incarnational form. And certainly we want to honor Arnold Kramer, just a great beloved of many of us here, a great journeyer. And we think of everybody we know, really. And my great buddy, Bob Goss, you know, who left me a little scrap of paper before he died. He stayed at my house, and I found it later going, turn, what is that? And then somebody else said, oh, he wants you to watch the revolutionary thing, which I binge-watched. It's like, I don't approve. It's hyper-yang death frenzy, but I can't stop. There's some good lines in the revolutionary drama, and one is, it's a play, but it's one that we're writing right now. And that's how they describe the Revolutionary War. And, you know, buddy, we think of all of our friends, you know, Stephanie Kurse and beloved Mayor Ed Lee of San Francisco, and Tom Petty, and Fats Domino, and Jim Vance, and I have a list. I Googled who died, and it goes on. So what we will, Roger Ailes, whoa, okay, Hugh Hefner, oh, good, may you grow up someday. There you go, you little dingbats. Jean Moreau, you know, Dick Gregory was a buddy, you know, again, wonderfully interesting. June Foray, the voice of Rocky and Bullwinkle. This time for sure, says Bullwinkle to us encouragingly now. You know, and many great jazz musicians. But also, as we honor grief, the 65 journalists in the world who were killed, Iraq, Syria, Mexico. And just now, you know, when we think about the Dementors of Doom, you know, Gamaro Perez Aguilando, you know, was just now shot to death at his son's elementary school Christmas party. And we go, oh, oof, and innumerable other Mexican journalists who really put their lives on the line to cover corruption. And even Valdez, who said, you know, let them kill all of us if that is the death penalty for reporting this hell, no to silence. And then he was killed. And we think of all those beloved who have died, past, present, and future, you know, all extinguished by the hyper-yang death frenzies, kind of relentless war on life, hashtag war on life, because the sneaky tax bill, the toxic tax bill, their mentors did it. They stuck drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in there. Right, and for decades I've been hosting Sarah James, and who's a Gwich'in elder who lives up in the Arctic Circle. You know, the Gwich'in call the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge the place where all life begins. Right, and almost all it really is almost all birds from all continents, you know, go through there, and the caribou and everything. And there was these wonderful people who made a movie about the caribou, and they were in their tent going as the caribou were gathering to mate and give birth as well. And they're saying, we're in our tent for 3 days, we're peeing into cups because we don't want to disturb them, right? As opposed to oil, boom, and we go, so the guns, the mass shootings, the assault on life, it's all related, the deadly pollution in Delhi, the hurricanes. Hurricane is one of the two words we get from Mayan. Hurricane is the originating god of really kind of Pluto. It's like all into the cauldron. And the other word we get from Mayan is shark. But we think of the hurricanes, which again are huge spirals, and we know that nature creates spirals to bring conflicting forces into harmony. Right, but the enormity of the storms, which will surely be growing, is just a statement of how much, you know, conflict we are feeding nature. Whoa. And Houston and Puerto Rico, and then also we honor, you know, the great goodness. We throw things into the cauldron, we're going to ladle out great goodness. We throw judgment in and ladle out curiosity. But so many great beings, and Jose Andres in Puerto Rico, in Houston and Puerto Rico, and then now in Los Angeles with the fires, but what a great model. There he was, you know, just on the Twitter feed, you know, such a great embodied Saturn. And I don't often guess people's signs, you know, but I, when I was looking at his tweet, I go, I bet he's a Cancer. I bet he's a really good-hearted, big mama Cancer guy. He is, that's wonderful. But you get to see him going, and here we are making ham sandwiches for 20,000. It should be beautiful. And here we are making paella. You know, they serve 2 million meals, hot, beautiful meals. And we go, oh, fire. So Puerto Rico and the fires. I was out in Northern California in October, and I do know people who have lost everything. And in Southern California, and California, British Columbia, Spain, Portugal, you know, all the loss and the grief. But what Stella Coyote taught me is when her best friend in the world, our great companion hybrid wolf, Captain Moondog Wolfie, when he died, she grieved, but she was not sentimental, right? And it's a textural difference. As we're exploring what's a con, which is a poison, and what's a liberating trick, which is the authentic good sacrament, you know, and we might say sentimentality is the con that covers up real grief. And so in her grief, however, as a kind of inspiration to us all, even when he was, you know, approaching the abyss, she was like, you're old, I love you more than anything, but I'm going to steal your food, because I'm here. And when he died, she was deep, but it increased her desire to live. I'm gonna live. And I thought, oh, that's one kind of grief. And then also just, you know, people who are protecting the protectors. You know, and we do wonder, you know, in Northern California with so many friends evacuating, I'm like, what are you taking? You know, a lot of people had 10 minutes, you know, and said, my hard drive, my favorite camera, and a toothbrush. It's like, whoa! You know, it takes you know, me, many people to pack, going, should I take these shoes or not? Anyway, yeah, I mean, all of that. And then a special just shout-out to Berta Cáceres, who died the year before, Honduran indigenous leader, protector of beauty. But I loved her allies, indigenous women, gathered, and they said, Berta Cáceres, she did not die, she multiplied. Right. So with my wonderful allies, Lilt, there's no more beautiful song that I know of for ladling beauty out of the grief cauldron. Thank you.
I went out late one night. Moon and the stars were shining bright. Storm come up and the trees come down. I'm telling you, boys, I was waterbound. Waterbound on a stranger's shore. River was rising to my door. Carried my home to the fields below. I'm waterbound, nowhere to go. It's all gone and I won't be back. Don't believe me, count my tracks. The river is long and the river is wide. Meet your boys on the other side. Say my name and don't forget. Water still ain't got me yet. Nothing but I'm bound to roam. Waterbound and I can't get home. Waterbound and I can't get home.
Part of why I love that song so much and the way you both perform it and sing it so beautifully is it's so deep, and then there's the jaunty penny whistle uplifting up out of the flood, up out of the ashes. It's that jauntiness that we've come, you know, because it is from deep grief, because grief, of course, is love. It's like, oh, poignancy is kinship. And it's from that that Trickster emerges, again, defiant joy, liberating Trickster, awaiting incarnational invitations such as in our hearts. So it's very powerful to have, you know, the Sun and Saturn conjoined for the first time in 30 years, you know, on the solstice. It's as though the backstage gods are helping us out, going, if you dedicate, you know, whatever you dedicate to, we'll strengthen each one of everybody's signal, dee 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 dee. So as we move into this year unfurling before us, we are more likely to connect with those things, those pieces of writing, those people, the funding, the whatever it is, serendipitous synchronicity, or the name of my new wonderful cat, Kismet, which means something positive intended by fate. And we go, right, those. So Uranus is stationing straight up overhead. Stationing meaning it looks like it's standing still from the Earth's perspective, you know, to us. know, going, it's slowly going backwards but stationing, and then on January 2nd it goes forward, which is outward. So it says what we dedicate to now has everything to do with how we experience the beginning of this year, where our inner lives meet outer circumstance. And it's not like tiptoeing, like I had a bad thought. It's the general dedication, you know, that is so powerful now. You know, like going, who brought what? Who brought what to this Renaissance? And it is, you know, against all odds that Trickster likes. So we go, now is perfect. It's really good. And we each, you know, carry a unique and necessary medicine. You know, we may not know what it is, but wonder is great. The sun, I'll say it and then translate it. The sun and Saturn right now are quintile to Neptune. Quintile is a 72-degree angle, what we get when we divide the circle by five. It's about irresistible eloquence, a kind of spicy, lively vitality. So it's Capricorn, this incarnationally manifest realm. And the earliest symbols for Capricorn is the Council of Elders, regardless of age, gender, and race assignment, the Council of Elders dedicated to the next seven generations. So this powerful, you know, incarnational mystery, you know, and also just, you know, we gather our wits here and, you know, out there in the world, and all the colored lights, our appreciation, I think, of them is we just think people, they're just trying to get high. Everybody out there is just trying to get high with the colored lights. It's like a DMT experience. And we do remember somebody, yes, Meredith thoughtfully gave me an Amanita mushroom pencil sharpener, which is here representing the Amanita world. Because many of us, you know, I never tire of saying this, but, you know, Christmas as an Amanita mushroom festival, it really works. You know, in the north, the shaman dresses as the sacrament, red and white. They grow under fir trees. Reindeer love to eat them. The experiences of flying. People drink the reindeer piss because it filters out the more alkaloid, toxic alkaloids. And the experiences of flying. And they go to the North Pole to gather wisdom and bring wisdom down every hearth. So that's what's really going on, you know, out there as you drive around going, ee, 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 you're all getting high. Wisdom for you. And you get wisdom, and you get wisdom, and, you know, may everybody wake up. You know, and the solstice, it's like if we notice where the sun rose and set every day, you know, now is where it appears, sol, sun, stis, to stand still. It's as far south in its rising as it will go, but it stays there for like 4 days, hence December 25th, right? So then it begins to rise further north all the way up into the summer solstice, so there we go. So Saturn is trining Uranus right now. All of these are kind of auguries for what's available, our resources, inward and outward. And so discipline, Saturn, and Uranus, Trickster, are in harmony. Good news for Aquarians, those are your ruling planets. Any Aquarians here, just for the fun of it? Oh, they're all, oh, a few people in the back. Aquarians, anthropologists from outer space, you're welcome now. And in fact, what Neptune also says to everybody, you know, imagine that the deepest, most soulful, most shamed, most hidden, most exiled part, but beautiful part of everyone is about to be completely welcome. You know, it's another sigh. It's like, whoa, we've made it to the right metaphoric atmosphere to address the actual climate, going, whoa, there's that. But the unique and necessary medicine, you know, part of that also is, it is true, as wonderful Rachel Harris, a great psychology buddy who wrote a beautiful book called Listening to Ayahuasca, you know, said, when I said that I was all up for everybody, you know, substituting for the word trauma, the phrase, my dangerous, beautiful assignment. And she was like, yes, but you want to grant everybody autonomy on their timing. I'm like, oh, okay. But that does really work, which is, you know, trauma, 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 and we go, no, it's our dangerous, beautiful assignment. Whatever we've undergone is where redemption lies in brewing medicine for others. You know, and everybody's here. I mean, everybody went to the underworld, and you're back, right? So that's the anonymous as well. Those who go to the underworld and make it back earn the right to be cultural trickster redeemers. Because Inanna and her best friend, because it's good to have a buddy, you know, they go to Enki, the god of wisdom who's become a tyrant, and being feminine heroes, right, within us all, again, Mars and Venus are within us all, regardless of gender, but being kind of Venusian heroes, they don't go grr, they get the tyrant drunk on beauty and poetry, you know, and as he gets drunk on beauty and poetry, he gives back human culture that he's stolen, right? And that's part of the dynamic. You know, again, what is the Mars and the Venus? You know, how is that, you know, how does that want to be beautifully wed? So Saturn trining Uranus, what I love to think of is that on Earth as it is in heaven, wolves and coyotes are mating. And wolves are, and I've lived with both of them, right? So they're very different people. But wolves, you know, they do play every 30 minutes no matter what, even when they're hunting, even though they are hunted, just to keep, you know, well, for play, really. The wolves really have a very Saturn-structured pack. Everybody's got a job, everybody's got a job. Coyotes, very Uranus, not so much. You know, wheel and deal, steal, ha, 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 you know, disrupt the order. The evolutionary advantage of what's going on, scientists call them coy wolves, I call them wolfotes, is wouldn't we all like to have a supportive wolf pack, to have and contribute to a supportive wolf pack that encouraged our wild, mad coyote genius? We go, right, to have safe enough to take the interesting risks. And that's part of the dynamic. Tonight, you know, is such a beautiful night in micro and macro ways. There's three fire planets, three earth planets, three water planets, so it's kind of a volcano with steam. One air planetary being, which is the moon in Aquarius. So the one lighthearted thing is us here gathering, right? So we go, all right, so but we do want that. So the coyote, wolfote, trickster spirituality, it's a wheel and deal spirituality. Right, and I do love, you know, things I carry with me all the time, but we want to especially animate them. You know, a wonderful kind of trickster friend of mine disguised as a psychologist says, first, she says, what if the idea of matriarchy is a patriarchal concept? And it's like, well, that's fun. You know, and we throw, let's throw all archies into the cauldron, because the only archie we really want is malarchy-archy, to ladle that out. So, but she also said, you know, the modern concept of worship is so silly. You are great, you know, wazza, wazza, wazza. I am nothing, give me this thing. And she said, in hunter-gatherer society and throughout the Mediterranean, there was great reverence and respect between the invisible mystery and the onstage incarnational reality. But she said, but it was a much more collaborative relationship, that the mysterious backstage spiritual world seeks incarnational invitation as much as we seek communion with it. We go, that's great. You know, and that's really what this time of year is about. Come on in. Come on in. And I love another ancestor now, you know, beloved radio pagan colleague, Margot Adler. She would sing this chant. I will just hum it, chant it. You know, but fur and feather and scale and skin, different without but the same within. Many a body, but one of soul, from all creatures are the gods made whole. And we go, right, everybody, this to and fro. And I learned a lot about this. It's coyote spirituality, meaning I give you this, you give me that. No, how about this? Because with Stella Coyote, you know, she would steal things, although that was not her word for it. And, you know, like somebody would have carelessly left two leather gloves out. What were they thinking? You know, and weeks later, she would come back and drop one glove in front. Clearly, telepathing, what are you offering for the other one, right? You go, how about some outdated pâté? And really, she'd go, only one? You go, okay, here's two, right? And then I'd give her two, and she'd go, and she'd bring the glove back. You know, and so I like, you know, again, it's all, you know, the divine wants to be liberated from past confines of human imagination. All orthodoxies, ortho means straight, doxies teaching. We like our teachings curvy very much. So it's really Liberty Hall, according to whatever we feel intimate with. I like thinking of the divine, the spirit of wolf that animates the universe. It's like a large wolfote bowing down before each one of us going, woof, woof, wanna play? We go, yeah. You know, it's like a friend of mine says, you know, we would wish for everyone relationships that are dangerous in a good way. We go, ooh, yeah, a little bit of spice. We love that. But I was telling a friend about some pretty fabulous turn of events, some against all odds things, you know, and he's like, oh, miracles are trending. And I go, oh, can I use that? And he said, yes, hashtag miracles are trending. We go, we love that. And magic is afoot. You know, it reminds us that part of our skill set and part of this beautiful symbolic language is whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. And in everything, including, here's a miracle, on December 12th, the election in Alabama. So for a long time, people were going, well, I was going, and other people, you know, chiming in. December 12th is Virgin de Guadalupe Day, and it's Santa Lucia Day. It's the early solstice. It's the goddesses of light and illumination who are particularly interested in the autonomy of young girls and women on the Alabama election day. But Alabama was born December 14th, 1819, at 2:14 p.m. in Huntsville. And a woman on my Facebook page on the morning of December 12th said, "I'm in Alabama, and I just voted. We're invoking, you know, we're invoking the Virgin of Guadalupe and all kinds of good things, and you know, all of that." And she had the chart of Alabama, and you go, "Well, maybe." It was Alabama's fourth, what's called Chiron return. Chiron's an actual little planetoid that makes a 51-year orbit. And it was back to where it was on the night of December 12th, 24 plus Pisces, which is a degree of cleaning out all corrupt priesthoods. Right? And you go, well, that's good. And then I was going, well, let's look at Alabama. You know, its sun is at 22 Sagittarius, same as James Comey's. They're born the same day, different year. And the image for that degree of the zodiac is the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to defend democracy from tyranny. I go, well, all right, we speak to the James, that part of James Comey, right? Okay, you can, you know, befoibled, we're all befoibled, but we speak to that part of you. But Alabama, who knew that it would stand up, you know, and that according to its birth chart, and it's going, I'm really just slough off things and the rise, and it was really also, it was black women and black men who delivered the state. We go, once again, you know, we're being saved by those who've been, you know, most dissed. We go, ooh. But miracles are trending. We're all in a mystery play, you know, and so part of the Saturn to Neptune. Neptune is how a culture tells itself its own story through dreams, music, imagery, everything out there in group mind in the memosphere. So you can see Neptune moving through culture, you know, Neptune in Leo in the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties, you know, in October of 1929, it goes into Virgo going, party's over. You know, and then it's now in its home realm of Pisces, you know, which happens every 165 years, which is the realm, well, the way I animate it, it's as though all the flora and fauna on this earth are meeting backstage going, what are we going to do about the humans? We got to either kill them or heal them. Let's try healing them first. Let's make everything that has ever moved humans to conscious kinship, everything that has ever invited humans back into the choreography of creation, available. Every piece of music, every piece of art, every writing, every philosophy, every teaching, available for fresh, customized, according to everybody, expression, to waft on out there. We go, right. And again, metaphors are incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. It's the tangible power of blessing, which in all cultures that have traditions of blessing, it's a sensual thing. It's not have a nice day. It's when the ghost of loss stands behind you, then may the ancestors place a cloak around your shoulders that will mend your life. You know, and when your boat is sinking in rough water, then may the moon spin a silver pathway upon which you may safely tread to shore. Sensual. You can see it. You can feel it. So right now, one of our companions through 2018 is that Neptune... Okay, quintile. Again, cooperators standing by. The images are eager to incarnate. All they want is an altar, a writing, a journal, you know, a paragraph of our manifesto of dedicated devotion. Any of those things will be like, oh, we're in. And so some things are always true, but there are times when they are truer. And we go, the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to imaginative imprint now. I loved in the book listening to ayahuasca, Rachel Harris's book, really great. But she quotes a neuroscience study that says, when we speak to an invisible presence, it stimulates the same portion of our brain as though we were having tea with a friend. So I love that. In our brains, it's a complete democracy between visible and invisible, on stage, backstage, real, imagined. They're all just as real. Go, oh, that's fabulous. And I crafted this phrase that I really like, entheo, indigenous, endogenous. Okay, and if you feel like it, you could say it with me. Entheo, indigenous, endogenous. There, that's very good. So entheo are the, you know, what that means, you know, entheogens, you know, the plant sacraments, and we take everything as, you know, again, is it a con or is it a liberating trick? And we might say whatever guides us to conscious kinship is a liberating good thing, and whatever you know, plummets us into alienation as a toxin. And that's just a useful criterion about whatever we smoke or eat or drink or think or feel. You know, and we want to, you know, take our discernings with us. So, you know, entheo, the divine within, you know, and we have endogenous receptors for cannabis, for marijuana, and also for DMT. All mammals do. You know, and then we also say by analogy, we have, you know, beauty is endogenous. We are pattern tracking beings as a species. And even this beautiful metaphoric language of astrology, we have little endogenous receptors for each planet. So when we speak of it, it goes, oh, good, very good, 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 and said. You know, toxic mimics can block those receptors. Again, when we study things, I love a client friend of mine is a forensic psychiatrist. So her job is to go into horrific shootings and crime scenes and to maintain kinship with the perpetrator, right? A tough gig. But, you know, Hawthorne says, let us not lose kinship even with the guiltiest among us. And our conversations are all about, you know, there is no merely private crime. It's all part of a collective dream. So when she's a crime scene where children have killed their mothers, you know, we go, we are killing our mother. Yeah. It's as though there's an atmospheric, you know, and pressure comes down and erupts through thin membranes, which is why, without getting all spooked out, I think the metaphor of possession is useful. When I went to the Republican convention and stepped out on the last night, I was like, oh no, we're really sunk. You know, I sort of knew. I covered it up later, but I knew, like, oh my God, this is the toxic mimic, and I think Trump is possessed by a cunning demonic retrovirus. And you could see it in that moment that everybody kind of noticed where his teeth almost came out of his mouth. He was like, mm-hmm. And I go, I think that was just the demon trying to leave, going, I've had enough. Even I've had enough of this nonsense. And he was like, no, no, no. Yes, I want out. No, no, no. Yes, I want out. You know, so we have compassion even for the demon that's been possessing Donald Trump. And so in the forensic psychiatry realm, you know, again, it's all part of a collective, and a wise culture would want to know why rather than just... So in almost all of the shootings, you know, there are a number of factors involved, the Las Vegas shooting and the massacre. A huge amount of screen time. You know, the Las Vegas shooter was spending, you know, 12 hours a day on video poker with Diet Coke, right? Aspartame, which is a neurotoxin. And who else do we know who has a lot of screen time and quite a lot of Diet Coke? Because it, you know, and it's like a wonderful brain scientist, Carl Prebrum. I went to him and said, I don't want science, you know, but I just know that video games, certain pharmaceuticals, aspartame, they dissolve the boundary between, you know, demonic interior fantasy and external. And he goes, no, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I was talking to doing a reading for a wonderful woman out in Oakland who's, you know, working with kids, Mexican and Vietnamese kids, 4 to 6 years old. And she said she would ask their parents, you know, how much screen time are your kids spending? And they go, oh, 6 hours a day or so. Because it is a babysitter, right? But she said, we're going out into nature. We're going out into nature. And the more time they spent outside, a number of them had a lot of ADD and autistic symptoms. Those all started to melt. And she talked about video-induced psychosis, right? And it's dodgy. I mean, I watch the screens. I know we're supposed to turn everything off an hour before bed, you know. But by the power of our dedication, we can all be the better humans we want, you know, in reciprocal blessing. We go, right, right. And again, you know, the restoration of intimacy, the study done in Scandinavia about kids growing up without computers before the age of 8 perceived 500 colors in nature, and kids growing up with computers perceived 100. Right? So a diminution of intimacy, you know, on a visual level. But we can extrapolate into audio. We want beautiful, complex rhythms, not just dum, 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 dum. You know, we want complex flavors, you know. Somebody calls Americans gustatory morons, salty or sweet, and we go, no, we want bitter and complex because it allows for complex thinking and cultivating complexity. So part of this, you know, as we think of what to throw into the cauldron, there's another quintile, these pretty rare, you know, beautiful patterns. Mars in Scorpio, sizzly, okay. I love Scorpio friends of mine who say that the essence of Scorpio is, does my staring bother you? So Mars in Scorpio, it's on its way to conjoin Jupiter, you know, wealth and blessing on January 6th, which is 12th night. It's Epiphany when the astrologers arrive. That's pretty good. But Mars right now is quintile Pluto. Again, it knows how to navigate the underworld. And it is on King Arthur's birthday. King Arthur is born on the solstice. It's the birth of the Redeemer. And Hijon the Conqueror of the South, the wonderful trickster, Redeemer, hero. It's also said of him that he does not go away. It's said that King Arthur does not die. He goes to the underworld to go take Pilates classes with the priestesses in Avalon to await the world's call at a time of danger. And we go, now would be really good. You're toned enough. Come back. And Hijon the Conqueror, great trickster redeemer of the South. Who, again, see, the trickster redeemer is willing to liberate the land, the people, and even the tyrant who has hardened their heart, not counting on it, but willing. So Mars quintiles Pluto on King Arthur's birthday, and encourages us, we go, let's toss Hyper Yang Death Frenzy with its wimpy compensatory cruelty into the end of year cauldron. We'll do a major thing before we deconvene, but even now it's good to just a wimpy compensatory cruelty. Oh, there we go. It's a little sizzle there. And ladle out, what do we want to ladle out? Green man wizardry. The equal dance partner for autonomous Venus. Venus is in the underworld. She also is trining Uranus, meaning true equality. True equality. When my friend said, about what if matriarchy is a patriarchal concept, she, a great scholar and a feminist, in Malta, when you go back far enough, no evidence of weapons or fortification, thousands of musical instruments, and beauty, and similarly in some excavation sites in Peru as well. So we love the equal dance partner. And so maybe we could have whatever you feel like, a jig for Mars and Venus to be dancing within and without in true equality. Thank you. Excellent. Do we not all feel that Mars and Venus have gotten married within us? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. What a good thing. Again, complete beings all in our different assignments. That it's wonderful. Because Mars and, you know, the Mars and Venus cycles, you know, where it would be guiding, you know, the masculine, feminine within everybody. So, but Mars in Scorpio now is in its sizzly detective mode and its green man wizard mode. I like thinking of all of our spirit brothers as wizards. Wizards, you know, regardless. And speaking to the wizard within everybody. And I happen to have Robert Mueller's chart here. May he be protected, going, oh, Wizard Mueller, oh, Wizard Robert Mueller, you Leo, you know, up for celebration. And we go, all right, we're rooting again, done sketchy things, you know, was against whistleblowers, all kinds of stuff. All is forgiven at the moment, you know, we're backing you up. You do have medicine, and you are about to be welcome, and we, again, put a, you know, see, blessings also are, in, you know, molecularly real right now, too. May a circle of wolves protect him, you know, and whatever else we can come up with. You know, as metaphors, again, are very useful. So there's Robert Mueller. We're wishing him well. But I did like the video analogy. It said, Robert, you wouldn't want to be tracked by Robert Mueller. And they said Paul Manafort was like the weak elk at the back of the herd, right? Take him down first. And we go, that's kind of fun, right? So in this Mercury retrograde, you don't all have to have felt like I felt, and the last kind of wrapping up of Saturn and Sagittarius, which is the journey, even within our house. Some things always true, but there are times when they're more available, which is, yes, let me go get that thing. Oh, but on the way there, I noticed the fish tank needs cleaning. Let me do that. And then I'm around again, and I'm looking for this thing, and I didn't find it, but I found these other things. So we go, not my schedule, but thine. And I did excavate things, you know, and found, you know, quirky little quotes that in the backs of drawers and stuff, because, you know, we're all circling around, you know, what is our journey, and what have we been syncretizing, and how is each one of us a unique, you know, a unique medicine person from all that we've had an affinity with. And also, what do we want to throw into the cauldron? All small befoibments as well. And, you know, for myself, I go, I want to throw over-promising into the cauldron. Going, there we go. So, because one of the things was the Shift Network, I work with them a lot doing online courses, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, I'm somewhat allergic to the branding language, like, blah, you know, but once you get there, it's a global community, and it's really quite okay. But I had promised them, I go, oh, you want bonuses for people who've signed up for the class that's starting on January 30th on the positive intrigue lunar eclipse. You know, if you go to my website and sign up for email, we'll let you know about everything, free things and not free things. But I'd said, a bonus. Oh, here's this essay I wrote in 1989 in a book called The Astrology of the Macrocosm. I was reading it going, God, this is really good. And also thinking, boy, it's lucky we don't know how long things take, because it was a tour from 1989 into 2050, and some of it was a little hopeful, but still quite pertinent. So, but it was one of those things that I said, oh, sure, I will scan it and then give everybody a copy, and then I will do a Zoom thing and co-rift myself and send this out. But it was a very Mercury thing, going, the scanner didn't work and neighbor's scanner didn't work, and it was all eating time. And I'm like, oh, and then I'll go to Staples and get it done. Oh no, I left the front page and the scanner at home. No, anyway, and around we go. It's like a Rube Goldberg. It's been like a Rube Goldberg kind of week, going, well, all right, okay. But aspiring to, you know, guiding principles, magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. And so it's like, all right, I'll read part of it tonight, just a little bit. And you can let me know how we're going, too. But so what I wrote in, and it is particularly resonant, because I wrote it in 88, and it was published in 89, and some of it is pretty amazing. But it is a particular resonance, you know, now to 1988. As Mark Twain said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And then he also said, worry is not preparation. And we go, oh, right, worry. Non-useful worry. Oh, worry. And he also said, I've experienced many terrible things in my life, most of which never came to pass. So, no, and he earned the right. I mean, he had a lot of terrible things happen in his life, but, again, jauntiness emerging. So what I wrote, jumping into the middle of the thing, I go, the more we collaborate with the future, the greater flexibility we have. The primary function of astrology is to discern the pattern of evolutionary intelligence and cooperate with it. So, again, remember, it's endogenous. You don't even need to know it. It's like, ooh, the trickster in us, the dedicated person, the leader, the artist, the musician, the dreamer. It's all in us, awaiting kind of, it's all endogenous in there, just ooh, awaiting the feeding. So we are called upon to experiment with time and our concepts of time. So let's talk to ourselves in the future. You know, we can reach back into the past for strength and inspiration from enlightened traditions, as is very apt right now, you know, and great mystery traditions, and had a fantastic, nutrient-rich, you know, journey to Egypt and with a wonderful friend in the spring, and that's something I will be feasting on, you know, for a long time. And there are after effects, too, without, you know, without being indiscreet, wherever I go, you know, trickster, like, you're in a terrible marriage, you don't need to be in that marriage. And they're like, I've never heard such a thing. And now there are more autonomous women emerging in Egypt right now. And we go, excellent. You know, we are creatively disruptive. And that's also part of the dynamic of, with all these things, and even things like, oh, like, Eris, the goddess of disruption, is an actual planet way out there in the Kuiper Belt, far beyond Pluto. But there, you know, and welcome Eris. And because Eris has a 500-year orbit, doesn't move very fast, so Eris, goddess of discord, is right next to Uranus. We go, where would we like discord? Are we not magicians and alchemists inside, endogenously? Where do we want to swoosh that? Who's a good discord? Yes, you are. Go, confound the Dementors. There we go. You know, and when somebody was worried about economic collapse, like, oh, and I go, well, where should we direct that? Who's a good economic collapse? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Go over there to polluting industries. Economic collapse over there to the polluting industries. They're very good. And that seems to be working. You know, they've opened up the tax fraud bill, has opened up the Arctic, but it hasn't happened yet. Remember the beginning of Arabic fairy tales, it always says, it was and it was not, right? It's again, and Neptune says, dissolution is the secret of the great work. Dissolve certainty so mystery can come on in. And so many places that we want to protect, they're still here. So we do throw, you know, again, the fears that we fear that we're going to fear far into the future, the five-year fear planner, you know, into the cauldron going, there we go. As we reach back into the past for enlightened traditions, and that's also part of the delight of going to India, which I have not been to in a long time, but we have a great logistics queen. But, you know, a fantastic fountain of Jupiter-Neptune. And I think all these different cosmologies, I think there's enormous beauty in Islam and the incredible curvy fantasticness of it all. And I think that a lot of what was just truths became laws when it got appropriated by a grumpy, corrupt priesthood. So it's not thou shalt not give an image of the divine. It's just that you couldn't possibly accept in fantastic curvy mosaics. India goes the other way, going 800,000 monkey gods shapeshifting into everything else. And we go, both are true. Those are both fun. So our task is one of scouting ahead and taking responsibility for our vision, returning and pulling the switch on the tracks for the reality train. Right. So that's in a lot of fiction and endogenously in our hearts, we go, we construct the imaginative world. And we know that we are wealthy, collectively, with ingenious solutions to almost all the problems that are facing us. It's a question of the Saturn leadership dynamic. So for all of us inhaling our Saturn back from wherever we've outsourced authority out there to incompetent leaders who've lost kinship or anywhere, you know, we insource authority, autonomy. You know, the planets are all meant to be insourced back in, you know, with some creative responsibility. Because part of Saturn says, this doesn't have to be true, but it's a useful working thing, that we are the captain of our adventure. We are the director of our movie, personal and collective. So when something kerfuffly happens in our personal life, a useful thing is to go, I wonder if I unconsciously directed the movie this way, you know, hired people to give me a hard time or, you know, whatever. In case I have, I'm throwing that script into the cauldron and laying a better one. But it's the wonderful sacrament of complicity, not shame, not blame, but it means whatever's going on, we are contributing chi to it. But once we realize that, we can inhale it back from an undesirable story and exhale it. It's like a social media friend of mine says, any attention is food, right? Anytime you like something, that feeds that. But anytime you dislike something, you feed it as well. Right, and that's where the whole fake news thing happened, with Macedonia as a major global headquarters for manufacturing of fake news, lifted from American sites like Breitbart. And those people in Macedonia, they didn't have any political dislike of Hillary Clinton or any politics at all, really, but they were making a lot of money, and they found that conflict and hatred generated clicks, which generated advertising, so they were making $100,000 a month, hard to give up. You know, and again, it's the click that feeds the thing, and the Dementors feed on oppositional conflict. You know, so part of our Aikido skill set, part of our dedication, is let us not be snookered into polarity, rah, 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 because that feeds, please don't feed the Dementors, because that feeds the Dementors. You know, and again, to spiral out of that thing, you know, Aikido. You know, and to think of, you know, all of the harassment, the, you know, surfacing, you know, that women have been subject to, from minor to criminal, we go, good that it's coming out, and now how would we tricksterize that? You know, and even, you know, Anita Hill, bless her historic, you know, challenge, when Clarence Thomas was saying, oh, I want you to look at this dirty video and whatever, well, we would see our trickster allies all of it going, Clarence, I got a couple of videos for you to watch. Here's this one on micro-lending, you know, or what, I mean, whatever the thing is, you know, coming back, you know, I see your pornographic video and raise you three environmental ones. Here, read that, and don't talk to me until you've finished watching. You know, and again, the Aikido thing, and, you know, I've only taken a few lessons in Aikido, but I so admire it philosophically and linguistically and everything. In the first lessons, too, be somebody puts an unwelcome, you know, hand, you know, and you just take them down, right? And you go, don't do that, you'll hurt yourself. And we would wish all those who are vulnerable, who have been vulnerable until now, to have that going, Funda! You know, don't do that, you Charlie Rose dingbat, to not be snookered. So I continue. In the essay, I go, the following prophecies are intended as guidelines to consensus reality, remembering that if we can imagine it, we can pull it off. So we can now dream the dream together and form a vessel into which the collaborative creativity of the magical transcendent can pour. So the primary astrological tool for timing is the tracking of the movements of the planets from Saturn on out, which we've been sort of doing. You know, and part of that is we realize that self-interest, well, here's really the Neptune-Pisces thing of right now. It says we're all in this dream together. There's no grief, there's no joy that we don't all experience in some way. We might numb ourselves to that with screens and pharmaceuticals and all, but we realize that self-interest and common interest are in fact the same if we look deeply enough into the apparent conflict. Once again, we understand the simple truth that there is no future in nihilism, right? Everything real, everything symbolic. So the rainforest is a central reality and symbol, moist, luscious, teeming with an exotic and mysterious profusion of life forms that have evolved over millions of years. This surely is the habitat of the Earth's soul. The cornucopia of nature's abundance, the grail, throughout core Western mythology, has always been contrasted with its demonic polarity, the wasteland. And again, the gods are trying to make it so simple for us, in which they go, we gave you Donald Trump, he's even got horns. You know, how much more simple do we have to make it? But he goes, here's another one. Here's Donald Trump at the golf tournament saying, and I dedicate this golf cup to those people in Puerto Rico. And it's like the grail has become the Trump golf cup. It's like how degraded has this been? So the lesson has always been and will always be one of reversal. Neptune, it is not that the grail serves us, but it is we who serve the grail as wise stewards. When we violate this trust, it makes us crazy and ill. It sends a convulsive shudder down our collective backbone. From Wall Street to the inner city and on into our bedrooms, how we treat the rainforest, the grail, is how men treat women, you know, the men in all of us treat the women in all of us, and is how we treat our souls. Everywhere we feel a crisis of the soul, a crisis of that vision, a crisis of Neptune, dealing junk bonds on Wall Street and crack on the corner or trading sex without reverence is both a reflection and acceleration of soul death based on a spiritual alienation from our task as compassionate stewards and our truth as one unified being. I was reading that going, that's pretty good writing, Caroline, from 1988. Okay. The whole of creation groans and celebrates together. We cannot pluck one strand of creation without resonating the whole. Poignancy is the experience of kinship. So astrology is the language of interrelatedness and articulation of correlation and resonance embedded in the natural world. And as such, it is now called to its most sacred use to provide us with the overview so sadly lacking conventional public dialogue with its addiction to fragmentary sensationalism. Yeah, when I was on an airplane once, My seatmate got up, and I couldn't help looking over at his computer. And he was a sort of mid-level management media guy. And the edict came on, was coming on down on high from the head of this big media thing, going, in the reporting of all stories, eliminate subtlety, increase urgency. We go, oh, well, we're going to increase subtlety, by God. No. So we love complexity. You know, and I do love, again, things that I carry with me always, you know, the study that said to the degree to which people are ironic is the degree to which they have the capacity for compassion. And I like it because it's surprising. Like, what? You know, we think of irony as British, bitter, kind of put down. But to be ironic means you're holding two stories at once, usually what is, what should be, or what is and what people are pretending it is, right? And see, Trickster loves discrepancy. It loves that discrepancy. It feeds on that. You know, and to be compassionate is to be able to hold more and more and more stories simultaneously. You know, the Black Christian teachings say there's no one we couldn't love if we really knew their story. Right? We go, it's a daunting, worthy aspiration. So Neptune's called the ruler of oil. Blah, 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 blah. Many prescient things. You can read it online. But we go, but, you know, the entheogens, you know, however, sacraments of kinship, again, whether we eat it or smoke it or drink it or think it or feeling, what guides us into kinship? And then other prescient, incredible things, but never mind, I'll skip those guys. Joseph Campbell, a great mentor, you know, said that the good news is we're free. The bad news is that we don't know what to do with our freedom, having thrown out all our systems of guidance and mocked and trivialized our languages of the soul. Right? So this huge, sneaky thing of colonialism, you know, going way back, we want to go, where did all this start? You know, how is this the horrific, vulgar, murderous cartoon blooming of things that began long ago? So it was that cultures symbolically embedded their science, their intimacy, their botany, you know, in fairy tales and myths in innumerable wonderful ways. And the Enlightenment, alleged Enlightenment, came along, and the unsupervised Mars team said, we don't need these, you know, myths, these fairy tales, these symbolic languages like astrology. We want just science, just knowledge. And so what it did is it stripped knowledge and science from its kind of mythological moral cocoon that all science be used in dedication to collective well-being. And so now, again, you know, when when physics and metaphysics get married, as they are, because once physics says, which it does, that there's meaning in patterns, the argument's over. And then they can have a child, which would be reverent science. And that's also where we're going. We are at the collective crisis of the death of, well, no, never mind, of the cowboy myth, blah, 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 blah. Never mind that. Okay, what is the cure, the thing that will heal us, the plant that lies waiting in the rainforest, the symbolic plant in our psyches that we must find to manifest, the wedding of polarity? Any unintegrated half of a polarity is a rogue element and bound to be crazy. The feminine is the voice of the soul, and it says reverence is the antidote to fear. Increase reverence rather than fear, the major demon to passing our collective evolutionary initiation through which we're all now traveling. And remembering the sacred teachings of Star Trek, when the spirit that feeds on fear, you know, takes over the ship, you know, and it's like, oh, and it creates fear, and it feeds on that. So what does Captain Kirk does? He gets them all stoned. And so the demon is like, oh, you're all going to die. And they're all like, this guy sure is gloomy. Well, we go, yes, we recommend any metaphoric version of such a thing. It's, you know, we are all candidates for initiation into the new myth. Whether we heed the call is the issue. You know, a wonderful quote from somebody, I can't remember their name, said, listen for your destiny. And when it, you know, and when it calls, release your plans. So Neptune right now also is squaring Mercury. So it says our mind is a wonderful thing, temporarily of no use. We're not going to think our way out of it. Neptune says we recommend you run on the fuel of wonder, because wonder, really just as a mudra, turns our body into a magnetizing, beseeching chalice of inquiry. And in the modern world, you know, modern world's bias is towards certainty, although it's all changing, you know. But we go, certainty's a booby prize, although I'm not completely certain about that. But in the ancient world, where we kind of reach our mythological DNA goes way back, in the ancient world, not knowing was considered a fantastic accomplishment. You know, look, so-and-so, fill in your name, has run out of certainty. Now the divine can find them. You know, and so Neptune loves soft focus, peripheral, you know, that kind of quality. So initiation entails terror, but initiatory terror is distinguished from fear because it is wedded to faith. and other things like that. So I finish by this otherwise fantastic, the new ancient myth we are called upon to reinvoke, to celebrate, and to offer our imaginative talents to creating is the wedding, the conjunction, the sacred marriage, the fifth act. Act one is here we are, act two is here we go, act three is oops, act four is evil, uh-oh, act five is the wedding, the kiss, the renaissance, the redemption. We go, reverent relating creates a vessel into which life spirit can pour, the great tool that lies not in our modern memory but in our primeval rainforest ancestral memory is magic, the collaboration of our dreams bridged to the spiritual life force of what wants to be. This alliance can heal and save us all. We are all called now to the grand conspiracy of collaboration, of offering the best in us to the grand design and extending the invitation to others to act similarly. By doing this, we form a vessel into which grace can pour. Life turns into the mystery play, dangerous and beautiful. Good luck to us all. Thus ended the essay that I wrote over 30 years ago. My God, okay. And there was a lot of predictions that have not happened yet. But we go, but solutions are within the problem if we stir the cauldron in the other direction. I want to also borrow from past solstices and from my friend Virginia Daly, who had this really great dream, and it really works for now. And in the dream, it's short, there's a bad figure stirring a cauldron, and terrible vapors are coming out of it. You know, it's like the finale of the alchemical process, like, whoa. And a voice in the dream says to my friend, the dreamer, you must take hold of the story-stirring stick and stir the cauldron in the other direction. So in the dream, it's like very slow motion. She makes her way slowly, and the minute she touches the stirring stick, the evil figure dissipates, vanishes into vapor. And then she's left to slowly stir the cauldron in the other direction. And I do love this physical metaphor. You know, I don't know how you can all resist not doing that. Okay, because we are stirring the cauldron in the other direction and tossing things in. And the certainty is a booby prize. I just feel like throwing certainty into the cauldron for the fun of it. It's a booby prize, although we're not certain. But I, you know, loss of democracy, you know, that's one way the story could go. I mean, it really is dangerous. But I loved a Daily Show, you know, reporter was interviewing Preet Bharara and saying, oh, come on, you know, tell us what happens. How does the season end? Right? And Preet Bharara says, justice can't be binge-watched. And we go, oh, that's good. That's really good. So we do want our chant, the longest night the wheel is turning, as many of you remember from every solstice we've done together, too. And it's very simple, you know, and we can sort of pause between it, but it's just the longest night the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night? And then we get to shout out things. There's a few things I want to... That will be covered by, you know, cruelty and churlishness. But, you know, but again, what fresh hell is this? The Trump administration is considering separating parents from children if they are attempting to immigrate into this country. And already it's like they took somebody's little one-year-old son and sent him 1,000 miles away. And then it's like, no, just... Exactly.
That's right. That's what Mercury says.
Yes, and all the things. So let's do it together. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Attachment. Colonizing Mars.
What?
Colonizing Mars.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, colonizing Mars. That's right. No leaving the Earth, boys, until you've cleaned your rooms. All right. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Attachment.
Well. Okay, all right. Okay, the longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Loneliness.
Loneliness. Loneliness is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Ignorance.
Ignorance is gone with the night. Okay, the longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Sour moods.
On with the night. Ooh, I'd like that one. That's really good. As Lady Gregory said, better to be tied to any thorny bush than to be with a moody man. Okay. All right. The longest night. The wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
The illusion of separation.
The illusion of separation is gone with the night. Okay. The longest night. The wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
A fruitless harvest
is gone with the night. Ooh, I'd like that. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Time
Private, right, that's good. Okay, private night. Dawn of the night. Oh, I like that one. All right, the longest night, the wheel is turning, what we give to the night.
Fossil fuels.
Fossil fuels. They want to go back into hiding where they belong. They like it there. And I would like to propose that we give up our addiction to having an enemy. The longest night, the wheel is turning, what we give to the night. Addiction to having an enemy. Ooh, addiction to having an enemy is gone with the night. All right, and let's see, what else would we want to give in there? All right, the longest night, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night?
Unnecessary fears.
Unnecessary fears, exactly. Whoa, I like that one. All right, so now we'll just do one more round, and everybody shout out everything all at once that you want to be gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night? Cruelty, cruelty. That's good. So now, what do we want to ladle out? You know, what do we want to ladle out? I like just a little one. All right, what? Judgment.
Judgment.
Yeah. Gone with the night. And what do we want to ladle out in place of judgment?
Slow conversation.
Slow conversation? Slow conversations? Whoa, I don't know if we can end on time. Okay. Or you wanted that gone, or you want to ladle that out, right? It's hard to tell sometimes. Stella Coyote also, you know, Stella Coyote is posthumously founding the Stella Coyote Foundation for the Improving of Human Manners. So we might want to ladle that out. Well, there we go, Stella. And ally etiquette, meaning, you know, Sejornis trickster is also associated with equality, democracy, synchronicity, and what links those ideas is when we treat each other as equals, meaning we all have different roles on stage, backstage, you know, but the only real form of, you know, is respect, which is a wonderful word. Respect means to look at again, spect, look. You know, and so from judgment we lay out curiosity, you know, wonder why they did that. And also respect. But so it's a heartening thing. It says if we treat each other as equals, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. I know this actually is true. But believe nothing, entertain possibilities, and take it out for a test drive. You know, and so it means the Dementors of Doom, bless their hearts someday, you know, may have more lawyers and more money, but we, if we treat each other well, rah-rah, which doesn't mean being nice, because nice comes from nescient, which means ignorant, but it means respectful, rah-rah, rah-rah, like a wolf pack, like a wolf-oti pack. You know, if we treat each other well, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. And this is what makes the transformation of culture a sporting possibility if we are willing experimentally to cahoot with that which is larger and smarter than ourselves, known as nature. You know, so ladling out ally etiquette. Ooh, it's getting very lively over there. And then something, I was looking for something in the back of drawers, and I don't even know if this is true, but this scrap of paper wafted it up, and I go, huh. Half the failures of this world arise from pulling in one's horse as he is leaping. I thought, that's kind of fun. Because, you know, how many of us have, you know, I don't know, I mean, you know, you go, almost ready, no, not quite yet. You know, ready for the opportunity, no. You know, and I know this as a little girl, because when the horse would gallop, I'd go, whoa, you know. And what wave do we want to catch? Going, ooh. No, not that one. How about this one? What you know, where do we want leaping? And it's useful because in fairy tales our wise Mars is animated as a wise pony that asks for us to give it autonomy. And then also what we want to come out of the cauldron. There's so much beauty in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge that it is our duty to protect it. And have done many shows with people who really have spent a lot of time there and or who live there. And Sarah James says, don't call it ANWR. Don't use an acronym, because acronyms lessen intimacy. If you call it ANWR, they'll drill it. You know, call it the Arctic Refuge. Subankar Banerjee, a wonderful radio guest I had who spent a great deal of time there and with all of the wonderful Gwich'in people, he said, you know, just some small story. Almost all the songbirds in the world go to the Arctic. You know, this place that is precious. 95% of Alaska is already open for drilling. This is the last 5%. Right? And it's so powerfully important. But he said, the yellow wagtail is a tiny songbird, you know, and it travels from India to Borneo, you know, and it mates in the Arctic. You know, and in Borneo, they base their calendar on the yellow wagtail. When the yellow wagtail arrives from, you know, India to the Arctic to Borneo, that's when they start their rice planting. And what he said is, we don't know what one more song dies, one more indigenous people. It's all wedded. With that, you know, what are we ladling out of the cauldron now? You know, everything that we've earned or studied or done good enough. Because as our approaching finale, we get to tricksterize everything. In many esoteric traditions, it speaks about the dweller on the threshold, a sort of like daunting figure where you finger wagging, where you meet all of your befoiblements and, you know, dark night of the soul. And like a friend says, the soul doesn't have a dark night, the personality does, you know. But we get to trickster, it wants to be tricksterized, going rather than a scary thing. At the scary moment, it takes off its mask and goes, welcome, well done, here, let's help you across, there we go. So in the spirit of that, you know, all that we've ever studied, syncretizing, you know, we, from all our affinities, you know, we are Sufi, Jamaican, Mesoamerican, Middle Eastern, Southwestern, South African, indigenous, Juju, for starters, right? And then, you know, let's add more, so let's put our coats on. And let's think of the trickster dweller on the threshold, you know, extending this congratulatory, welcoming hand, paw, flipper, whatever, going, welcome, welcome across the threshold into this next year. And Mercury is stationing to go direct right now. So there's a number of metaphors we can play with, but, you know, we're ladling out of the cauldron our magic backpacks that have everything we need, Dorothy slippers, the magic mirror. You know, we hold up a mirror and goes, it sucks. Then we turn it with a trickster with a wave of the hand, turns it into a window. Look how beautiful it could be. Another wave of the hand, a door, let's go. So we all have these things, and we also have this beautiful word, from an Amharic word from Ethiopia, Aizan. And Aizan is a blessing that is given and received, and it means, you know, encouragement and jauntiness when setting forth on a beautiful and dangerous journey. So we might say to each other, Aizan, 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 thank you. And now you will rouse us to our finale. That's pretty much it. Whatever you want to do. It's great. So let's have this beautiful music. Let's have the music be the, as we get to embody the Aizan, that we all have enough support, enough blessings, enough kin, you know, enough synchronicity to be rousing agents of trickster with defiant joy. Mwah. And Keith Carr, thank you so much. And I'm Caroline Casey, thanking you for doing this beautiful work. Woof, woof, woof. Nothing can stop us now. Thank you. Mwah.